Hello and happy Easter. Today we're going to reflect on the pause of waiting using the passage from Matthew 27, 57 to 66. Between Good Friday and Easter Sunday is the silence of Saturday, a day of waiting. The disciples must have felt confused, lost and unsure. Yet God was still at work, and in our lives we can trust that he is present even in the silence of waiting. So here's the passage, Matthew 27, 57 to 66. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that whilst he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he's been raised from the dead. And this last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. So Holy Saturday, or as some call it Black Saturday, is in the day in between the death of Jesus and his burial in the tomb and his resurrection day. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus' followers could be found holding their breath and wrestling with deep issues of faith. They had just seen their Lord and promised deliverer be murdered, and they had not yet seen him risen. And to be fair, they appeared to have scattered in shock of what had happened. As far as they could tell with their physical eyes, he had failed them and left the world with unfulfilled promises to be their saviour. One of the things that makes Holy Saturday so difficult, that makes this gospel text so unsatisfying, almost lacking, is that there's no resolution, there's only waiting. I imagine that's what it was like for Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They were there waiting, sitting opposite the tomb. They don't do anything, they don't say anything, they just wait. Probably with just the sorrow and hurt and pain and emptiness and loneliness. And yet here also we see government forces working to make sure that Jesus' legacy comes to an end, that his words are proven wrong, and that his followers don't have any fuel for further trust in him. It looks like the religious leaders have won the day. It looks like sin and injustice and evil have prevailed. And you and I can look around the world today and we can be tempted to think the same thing, that sin and sorrow and evil and injustice, even governing authorities, even religious leaders who oppose God, that all of these things have prevailed. We can think that in the world around us, we can think that in our lives. But to remember, nothing can stop the one who is the resurrection and the life that Almighty God has power to bring, to turn death into life, to turn sorrow into joy, to turn mourning into dancing, to totally flip the script. I see exploring Holy Saturday as an invitation for us to get uncomfortable, ask the why question, to reflect on how God is indeed faithful to fulfill his promises, even if it's not as fast or in the same way as we would have imagined. We as humans can easily despair when we lose sight of Jesus and his plan. But Holy Saturday reminds us that there are battles being fought for us, even when we don't see them. It also gives us permission to feel deeply the emotions of unfulfilled expectations and to sit in the discomfort of faith when it's tested. We see that expressed over and over again in the Psalms by David. He had confidence in God, but that didn't mean he didn't get uncomfortable and cry out for answers, and God repeatedly came through. Just as with Jesus' death, the story doesn't end at the cross, and it didn't at the grave, for Sunday was coming, even when no one could see how it was possible. Sometimes all we can do is trust in God and wait. When we receive bad news or have no tangible reason to have hope, do we feel safe crying out to the Lord with the depths of our feelings, or do we feel he only wants us to come to him when we're full of faith and hope? Remember, Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." So be encouraged to take whatever we are struggling with today to the Lord in prayer. He's not afraid of our rawness or vulnerability and will save those who are crushed in spirit. Today, what are you waiting for from God or life? And how do you cope with waiting? And sometimes it's not just a single day of waiting, it's weeks, months, years. We wait and wonder what's next in our circumstances, work, social life, our health or our finances. We wait and wonder when it will get better or if it will get better. Even when we can't see it, God is always at work, orchestrating events to fulfill his purposes for our lives. We should remember that waiting for God can be a time of profound spiritual growth, fostering patience, trust, and a deeper connection with God as we learn to rely on his character and timing rather than our own expectations. As we come to the end of this reflection, I've got three things for us to remember while we're waiting. Firstly, sometimes we have to wait and we don't know why. For some reason, God leads us through times of waiting in our lives and we don't always know why. When it comes to the Christian life, there are rarely neat, pat answers, although we'll often be able to look back and see how God has used a particular thing for good in our lives. The point is not to wonder why something is happening, but to seek the Lord through it. And secondly, God's power steps in just when everything seems hopeless. God often does seem to let things get to the point where you think all's lost before stepping in. It helps us to acknowledge that it's his power alone which can change our situations. God's power is limitless. There's never a situation which is too dark for him to step into. Whatever you're waiting for, know that God's power is able to do it. There's nothing that God can't do. Mark 10:27 says, "All things are possible with God." We must remember that however hopeless our situations may look, they're never hopeless to God. And thirdly, we must believe and not doubt. We mustn't question or doubt God's promises. This doesn't mean that we should never struggle with doubts about God. Many godly people in the Bible struggled with doubts. However, they dealt with their doubts through prayer and praise rather than indulging their doubts. So to finish, if God has placed you in a situation where you need to wait, trust him. If you're struggling to trust him, ask him for help every day, every hour, whenever you need it. God's power and might will be revealed at the proper time. If he has called you to wait, he will also fulfill his promises. Hope that's been helpful. Happy Easter.